In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we are commemorating both the Sunday after the exaltation of the life-giving cross, but also its leave-taking. So today, again, we return to the theme of the cross. But I want to take a little bit of a different focus for this homily, which I have titled with the central question that I hope to be able to explore with you all and to unpack. The question is, what is a martyr? And that can't be answered without the cross, and who and he who died on that cross. Our Lord said to us in the gospel, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Saving our worldly life in order to take the step of rephrasing our Lord's words, to save our worldly life is to commit it to death. And the seeming paradox of the next part of our Lord's words is that the one who gives his life over to the cross, to crucifixion, saves their life. The crucifixion, the spiritual crucifixion that we are all called to participate in with our Lord and Savior, is a crucifixion of the false self. Our taking up of the cross saves the true self for everlasting life. When we are obedient to Christ through his commandments, through the church, through conversations and guidance of our spiritual father, we ascend to the life of love within that sacrifice that was offered on the cross. Through all of these means, through following Christ and being obedient to him, the false self dies, and the true self, the one that finds its identity in Christ, is saved. The one that will go on into everlasting life is saved. So the taking up of the cross that our Lord is calling us to gives us the true life. We lose the former life, and when we lose the former life, better said, for the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel, saves it for eternity. The loss of one kind of life is really only losing a delusion of what fades away because it is not part of God. It is separated from him. We lose those things, but through the cross, we gain the life giver. It's a reversal of the consequences of Adam's fall, which we now all are born into. All of those consequences we now must deal with. St. Nikolai of Ohrid brings out this beautiful truth about the cross and what our Lord is calling us to. So let us take some time to read a lengthy paragraph from his homily on this very theme of the true self versus the false self. St. Nikolai says that Adam denied the truth and clinged to a lie, and now the Lord seeks of Adam's descendants, it's all of us, that they deny the lie and cleave once more to the truth from which they had fallen away. Therefore, to deny oneself means to deny the deceitful non-being that has been imposed on us in place of our God-given being. We must deny the earth-boundedness that has for us replaced spirituality, and the passions that have replaced good works. The servile fear that has darkened us to our sonship of God, and the grumbling against God that has killed within us the spirit of obedience to Him. We must deny evil thoughts, evil desires, and evil deeds. We must deny the adulterous worship of nature and our body. In brief, we must deny all that we reckon is me, but is in reality not us, but the devil and sin and corruption, illusion and death. Oh, let us deny the evil habits that have become a second nature to us. Let us deny this second nature, for it is not our nature as God created it, but as an accumulated, hardened illusion and self-delusion in ourselves, a hypocritical lie that goes by our name, and we by its. This is what St. Nikolai is telling us we leave behind. It's illusion, it's death, it's corruption. But we step into eternity when we take up our cross. So to return to that central question that I wanted to unpack and explore with you, who is a martyr? Or what is a martyr? The martyr, I would submit to you, is the one for whom Jesus Christ and His gospel is his total life. It's the one for whom the truth, who we know is a person, is never out of sight. I think one of the most central and most important things that we can contemplate in our times is not really who is the martyr, but to understand that our whole Christian life is a martyrdom. To be a martyr is to be a witness to that truth of God and the age to come. The one who follows the way of the cross passes through this life that leads to death, and rather enters into the life through the crucifixion of his fleshly life, into the life of God. Our fleshly life is that way of being, that me, as St. Nikolai said, that does not account for the soul's existence or its immortality, and that there assumes that there is no creator that precedes our or the universe's existence. To think in a fleshly way, to have a fleshly life, that is its non-foundation, if you will. Fleshly life is essentially the default mode and the supported worldview of our times. It's that thought that this body is all that matters. Let me see how I can use it to gain the most pleasure that I can. And perhaps I can also change it at will to my own whims, because it's all I have. And the result that we see around us is an unmoored life, a life and a society that does not embrace meaning. Fleshly life is what's behind all of the de-Christianizing of our worldview. It's what justifies the denial of the reality of gender, of holy marriage, of the foundation of our moral life devolving into simply circumstantial ethics. What do I do in various situations? And the more complicated, the less clear the answer. It's the answer, fleshly life is the reason, rather, of the rise of the irrationality and the violence and the hate that we're surrounded by. As was once said by an atheist summarizing a very Christian author, if God is not real, then everything is permitted. The implication is that because nothing matters beyond my own limited perception, beyond my own body, which will die anyway and will recede into non-existence, to deny the existence of God or to make up our own version of God is not the God who self-revealed himself to us, the church, and gave us her scriptures, is to take away from ourselves, to believe that that's all we have. There's no God and all I have is my body. Is to take away all purpose and all meaning from life. And that's largely the path that the secularists of our age have chosen. And to oppose this is to begin to think spiritually, to enter the path of the cross, which the path is the path toward becoming a martyr. Every Christian is called to that path. Most of us ultimately won't give our lives in such an explicit way, where we shed our blood and breathe our last in the clear way of someone telling us to deny these things. But every Christian is called to that, to begin to walk that path in preparation for that moment, where every day, every moment, we have the truth, Jesus Christ and his gospel before us. Those things are not separated. Our eternal being, that we are destined for eternity, is the reason for all things, and that comes from God. Fleshly life and its thinking and trappings are the antithesis of eternity and of God, who called and made us to enter into that eternity with him. That is the real self, the one that is eternal. We are going to experience that spiritually fully in the age to come with our whole being, body and soul, in an eternal body with our immortal soul. But it's not just for the age to come. We can experience that now. That's what we do here every time we enter church. We experience the age to come, not in its totality, because we're limited, and this body will decay and fade away at some point, but the immortal soul is here, and we begin to taste of the eternity when we are again given our body that will last for eternity with God. The Christian bears witness of that fact. The Christian is one who's preparing for the martyrdom of the temporal body, for its eventual death. But each day, the immortal soul, we choose the immortal soul. And we want to give it all to the Lord, to be remade into the eternal body that he has waiting for us. So who is the martyr? It's the one who bears witness to this truth. But it's also said of the martyrs, those who do give their life, shed their blood for Christ's sake, for those who hate them, those who do not want to deal with those who have something beyond this life and live from that life, those who gave their life because of what others desired to eliminate them, those martyrs who gave that price, those are the seeds of the church. If one faces their death with courage that's given by the Holy Spirit, then they have the martyric spirit, the one that bears witness to the Holy Spirit and its activity, the one who faces themselves and death with courage because they're prepared to show the high degree of their trust in God, in his providence. Those are the ones who have the martyric spirit. These ones, they know their flesh is temporary, but the spirit and the age to come are more real than their body. The accounts of the martyrs that we have throughout the church, they're shocking to us because they're accounts of those who have this spiritual way of thinking. No matter what happens to their body, it's almost, they don't care. They know they're going to be given the eternal one later. And they keep that at the forefront of their mind. The truth and the God who will give them that body, who will fill them with love and courage and grace and hope. Those martyrs, they have a hope-filled thinking. They live in their way of life from that perspective, from the perspective of the eternal body and the immortal soul and the God who gave them that. The martyr is saved in their blood for God. A martyr is joyful for the opportunity to share in Christ's crucifixion, in the way of the cross, even daily. To return to St. Nikolai, he says that Christ is very purposeful in opening up salvation broadly here with these words. Christ says, not only for himself, but for the gospel will they be saved. So there's three reasons that we can conclude that one embraces martyrdom or may become a martyr in its fullness, to shed their blood and their life for God. It's for the sake of Christ himself, that Christ is my God and my Savior. It's for Christ's gospel, going to preach to the nations and give the good news to others. And for Christ's law, for the following of his commandments. If that costs us our life, it counts for Christ. In this way, for living in that way, for Christ, his gospel, and following his commandments, one gains their living an immortal life. St. Nikolai says that on losing your life for Christ's law, that one is saved who loses his life for the single commandment of Christ, or for one single word of his. The Lord is the lawgiver, and he who sacrifices himself for the lawgiver has sacrificed himself for his laws. And also the other way around, he who sacrifices himself for his laws has sacrificed himself for him, for Christ. Equating himself with his works and his teaching, the Lord in this way opens up the possibility to be saved. And that's the central thing that I want you all to take home and ruminate. Almost everyone in this room will not shed their life for Christ's sake, shed their blood and give their life, but you can have the martyric spirit to follow Christ, his gospel, and his commands. And there grace will fill you, and eternity will be felt. You'll experience eternity from that perspective. The one who leaves aside their concern for themselves to follow Christ, to share his gospel, becomes a martyr in their soul, even if their body of flesh is not murdered by an executioner or an assassin. St. John Chrysostom says that we need to have the perspective that we have no pity towards our own bodies, so that even if we're flogged or worse, let it make no difference to us. Let him take up his cross, that is, and accept the shameful death, because the martyr knows that that's not the answer. That's not the final answer. The eternal body that God will reward every man and woman with is the answer. And we live from that truth. A martyrdom is a strong sign of living not for this age, but for the age to come, for eternity with God. So the mystery of the cross, the mystery of death, and the mystery of eternity, they're all tied together. No fleshly, shameful death because of an evil persecution prevents that reward. It only facilitates our entering into the age to come with our death defeating God. It's the most that anyone can do. And in a certain sense, a great gift. This mystery, these mysteries, I should say, are tied to the great Paschal greeting that Christ is risen. And nothing can stop us from living now from that perspective of eternity with God. Confessors, martyrs, monks, all the pious faithful in the world of our time, That's only possible if we begin to adopt that perspective as our own and bring it closer and closer to the center of all of our being, of all of our ways of thinking, all of our words, and all of our deeds. If we mix the fleshly thinking that I only have a body, and we begin to doubt the eternity of the soul, the mortality of the soul and the eternity to come, then at some point, that worldly, fleshly thinking will take priority over the soul. Don't do this, brothers and sisters. Never lose sight of eternity. Live from the cross, gazing with hope upon the resurrection of all. This is the reality of realities. Eternity gives purpose to all things. And we immortal ones are shown the path to walk into eternal life. There are two verses that I'll close this homily with. One from the gospel and one from the epistle. Our Lord says, "Come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. This is the way." And St. Paul, in his epistle, tells us the result that I hope we can say with him, "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." To live in Christ is to live from the other side of the death-defeating God-man. It's to live in the flesh from and for the resurrection to come. This is all what all of those who have lost their lives for Christ's sake, this is how they've really saved their life and their immortal soul for the blessedness of that eternal life with God. So let us recognize evil action, but don't stay there in sorrow. Let us never lose sight of the martyrs, that they are the seed of the church, and God is not mocked and will turn all things to the good. Their blood becomes, because it is united with the blood of our God, who's the Lamb slain for the salvation from the foundation of the world, will wash and restore and grow God's people. Brothers and sisters, keep that in focus, and you will be united to Christ and the church that is God's people. And we will see floods of new faithful, of renewed faithful, of those who face death and persecution not as defeat, not as victims, but as ones who see this as a step into the resurrection of the dead, won by the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our thought. This is our perspective. This is what it means to be a martyr. Amen.